Good morning. Welcome to CBY's Faith Mentors Program, Sunday Morning Learning with Rabbi Sachs. This morning's share on Sphira is for Refuah Shlema for Chaim Yisachar and Chaim Mushkat. You should have a complete Refuah Shlema. Next week, Rabbi Sachs would also be speaking Sunday morning after the 8 o'clock minyan. The Covered Girdle, Rabbi Sachs.
Essential themes of the Haggadah Shel Pesach is the need to do Yetzias Mitzrayim as part of an ongoing process. We stress the fact that Mitzchila Hayav Hoseinu of the Avodah Zarah V'achshav Kervan HaMakom La'Avodasa, that Yetzias Mitzrayim is one stage. It began much earlier, and the Cheiros that we experience is not just simply the fact that we left Mitzrayim, but rather as a stage toward Kabbalah Sazara. And the Ramban comments in Parshas Emor that this certainly is evident in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. There are many questions that why is it that the Torah gave us this particular mitzvah? In fact, the Ram quotes in the very end of Sofim the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu told Knesset Yisrael that Tavdun Asalkim al Har Hazeh, you are going to leave Eretz Mitzrayim to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. And Knesset Yisrael asked exactly when would this occur, and the answer was that Tisbru Chamishim Yom, count the days of the Omer, and that will be days of preparation, days of anticipation, in order to receive the Torah Hashem. And the Ramban comments that there's no greater indicator that links Pesach and Shavuos than this mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And therefore, the Torah empowers us to go ahead and to count these days in order to bridge that particular gap. The Ramban even writes, Al Pi Kabbalah, a beautiful Chiddush, and that is that Pesach is referred to as the first days of Yontif, and Shavuos is referred to the conclusion of Yontif. V'hayamim hasurim bentayim harehim kecholo shemoed. Intermediate days are comparable to a time of cholamoed. In fact, Rabbi Yosef has in the Tshuvas Nechavadas, in Chelek Aleph and Siman Chaf Daled, that you know that this is a tragic period in a certain sense, because as the Gemara writes, Nivamos, the Ptira, the death of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, but nonetheless, even though there's an element of Avelus during this particular time, it would certainly be inappropriate to characterize these days of extreme Avelus, comparable, for example, to the 3 weeks between Shavuot Betamuz and Tisha B'Av. Those are days of absolute Avelus, but these days, Min HaTorah, are days of great Simcha, and he cites exactly this view of the Ramban, that in a certain level they are equivalent to Chol HaMoed, a mitzvah of Simcha, days of mention, celebration, anticipation, preparation for Kabbalah Satorah itself. And even though there are elements of Avelus, one cannot necessarily assume that all of the details of Avelus that apply during the 3 weeks during the summer would necessarily apply during the time of Yemei Hasfira. It could very well be that this is the reason that the Chachamim always refer to the Yontif of Shavuos as Atzeres. You know, we usually think of Atzeres in terms of Shmini Atzeres, or for example, the last day of Pesach, and that you certainly understand. You have a Yontif that spans many days, and the last day is considered to be one of a conclusion, but here it's certainly striking that Atzeres min HaTorah, Shavuos is a single day, and it's referred to as a conclusion. In one sense, is this true? The Ramban writes, because this is the real culmination, the conclusion of Chag HaMatzos. And therefore, Chazal specifically referred to Shavuos in this term in order to emphasize that bridge, that link that combines Pesach and Shavuos. And perhaps the further indicator is as follows, that we know on each and every Yontif, there is a mitzvah of Simcha, the Torah obligation of the Samach and the Chagecha. We discussed in earlier Shiurim, to what extent is Man Hazeh, without a Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Simcha is Min HaTorah, to what extent is it only the Rabbanan? The Rambam is explicit, Perek Vavav Hilchos Yontif, that Simcha is Man Hazeh is Midaraisa, Tosas Hashit, and Moikat and Daf Yadalit, Simcha is Man Hazeh is only the Rabbanan. But it is somewhat unusual that you don't find that the Torah mentions any mitzvah of Simcha when it comes to Pesach. Even though no doubt it certainly exists, it's based on the fact that the Torah links each and every Yontif with each other. However, it is somewhat unusual that there is no explicit mention of Simcha when it comes to Zman Cheruseinu, and perhaps that's exactly the point, that the simcha that we experience is not the cherus in and of itself. After all, there's an element of cherus, no doubt, that exists when it comes to Pesach, but that certainly is only the beginning. That is not the end of our experience. That Imecha ben Chorna l'misha osek b'torah, cherus is an opportunity. And cherus is a challenge to channel that newfound freedom in order to prepare oneself for Kabbalah Satorah. And therefore the Torah doesn't emphasize the mitzvah of simcha when it comes to Pesach in and of itself, but rather it is the culmination of this experience that is true when it comes to Shavuos. And therefore, that perhaps is a further point in order to go ahead and to emphasize that link, the need to combine, to bridge the gap between Pesach and Shavuos, the importance of the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. This could also explain the status of Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazen. You know, you find several different views in the Rishonim. To what extent is Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazen in HaTorah? To what extent do we assume that Sfira today is only Dirabanan? Why should one assume that Sfira Bizman Hazen is only Midrabanan? After all, the Pasuk tells us, Miyom HaBiyachim, from the time of the offering of the Minchas HaOmer. And after all, as Tosus assumes and the Balamor assumes, that the Torah is not just simply telling us when to begin counting, but the Torah is emphasizing the need for the Hakrabas HaOmer in order to have the full mitzvah min HaTorah of Sfiras HaOmer. Therefore, the view of Rav Rishonim is that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is only Dirabanan. And this is against the view of the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tinim and Musafim maintains that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman Hazeh is min HaTorah. And the question is, on what basis is that true? So the Rav HaShulchan, for example, explains in Saf Peites that it's because of this exact point, that even without the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash, and even without the Minchas HaOmer, but nonetheless, it is absolutely critical to link, to bridge that gap between Pesach and Shavuos, and that is not dependent on the existence of the Beis HaMikdash. That lesson, channeling Cherus, in order to experience Kabbalah Satorah, is as relevant today as it is when you have a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, that role of Sfiras HaOmer is Nidaraisa, even Bizman Hazeh. And therefore, perhaps this is a possibility, understanding the Rambam Shita, why even today the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is considered to be that which is Min HaTorah. This machlokes as to whether Sfiras HaOmer is Min HaTorah, whether it's Rabbanan, is also relevant for the issue of Shehachiyana. That the Rishonim are quite bothered that why is it that you don't recite a bracha of Shehachiyanu on Sfiras HaOmer. So the Balamor writes at the very end of Maseches Tzachin that, you know, we only recite Shehachiyanu on a mitzvah sheyesh ba simcha. After all, this bracha of Shehachiyanu indicates a certain element of a simcha saleh. And therefore, if the mitzvah is not one which is invested with the quality of simcha, we don't do so. Tosfos even writes, Bris Mila, no doubt, is half the celebration, but there's an element of tsar. After all, the child experiences the Bris Mila, and therefore Tosfos writes, you don't even recite a bracha of Shehachiyanu at a Bris Mila because of an element of tsar. The Balamor writes that this is certainly true when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer. That Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayam, they used to recite Shehachiyanu on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. We don't Bizman Hazeh very simply because of the following. We can recite the bracha of Shehachiyanu on a mitzvah in HaTorah, right? We can recite Shehachiyanu on Kriyas HaMegillah, on the Hanukkah, on a mitzvah which is Drabanan. But a mitzvah which in principle should be Min HaTorah. But in practice is only Drabanan because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, unfortunately, the mitzvah is relegated to a Zecher LaMikdash. After all, Tosfos writes to recite the Harachum and Liyatzer, Avodas Beis HaMikdash in Komo, we say that, the Yiratzon after Sfiras HaOmer. It's not a mitzvah sheish bo simcha. The Balamor writes, it's a mitzvah sheish bo agmas nefesh. It's a painful experience to count Sfira Bizman Hazeh. What should be Min HaTorah is only Drabanan, and therefore the Balamor writes, you don't recite a bracha of Shehachiyanu. This answer obviously is assuming that the mitzvah of Sfira Sombra today is only the Rabbanan. And let's assume you were to argue that Sfira Sombra Zman Hazeh is Daraisa, the view, for example, of the Rambam Shita. Apparently you'd have to give a different explanation. Why is it that there is no bracha of Shechianu? So if you look in other Rishonim, they argue that, you know what? We don't recite an independent bracha of Shechianu, because after all, the Shechianu is covered by the Shechianu of Yom Tov. Which Yom Tov exactly are we referring to? Well, if you look in the Me'iri Yom Tovim and of Zion, the Me'iri writes it's the Yom Tov of the low standard. After a recite of bracha of Shechianu, it covers all the mitzvot halayla. That includes matzah, that includes dalet kosos, that includes perhaps the magid, perhaps that includes as well the Sfiras Omer. That's the view of the Me'iri. But if you look in Rabbi Yerucham writes that no, it's covered by the Shechianu of Shavuos, not the Shechianu of Pesach. After all, the whole purpose of the Sfiras Omer is to go ahead and to bridge that gap, and therefore only once a person has accomplished that goal, that's when you can now recite the bracha of Shechianu. The end point is Chag HaShavuos. And perhaps this is one possibility in terms of explaining the view of Halachos Gedolos, the Tosos quote, the Menachos and the Samach Vav, that you know that if you forget the day of Sfiras Omer entirely, you can no longer continue to count. Why exactly is that so important? Apparently, the Bahag is viewing the counting of the Sfira as a single unit, as opposed to independent days. Why is that true? Why is it considered to be a single unit? Perhaps exactly because of this point, that the purpose of Sfira is to bridge the gap between Pesach and Shavuos, and therefore, that bridge is only as strong as right, the weakest link, and therefore if a day is missing, so in such a case now, one no longer continues to count. All of these point to that fact of the relationship between Pesach and Shavuos and this role of the Sfiras HaOmer. Perhaps one could argue, you know, that those learning Daf Yomi, for example, these Mishnayos and these Sugyos, Menachos and Daf Nun Tes, and elsewhere, stress the unique relationship and the difference between the Minchas HaOmer and the Shtei Alechem. Well, the Gemara comments that, in a real sense, the Minchas HaOmer and Shtei Alechem are quite similar. After all, a purpose of each of these is to be Matir the Isser Chodosh, the Gvulin, and in Mikdash, and therefore, in many respects, they are compared. But, you know, there is a difference simply in terms of the grain which is used in Minchas HaOmer and Shtei Alechem. The Minchas HaOmer is somewhat unusual. It comes from Sa'orin, it comes from barley. In Shtei Alechem, that is utilized from Chitim. And the difference between Chitim and Sa'orin, the Gemara mentions, is Sa'orin is considered to be animal fodder. That is Machal Behema. And Chitim is considered to be that which is utilized for human consumption, Machal Adam. And the question is, why is that significant, the difference between Minchas HaOmer as opposed to Shtei Alechem? And perhaps one could argue this exact point, that Pesach is a time that we celebrate physical chirus, that we were relieved from our physical burden. And you know, that is an experience that doesn't require a heightened awareness. Even an animal, for example, can sense a certain measure of relief when the animal is freed from its burden. And therefore, perhaps that's indicated in the fact that the carbon which is brought during Pesach is considered to be Sa'orin, Machal Behemah. But then, we're called upon to transition, to challenge, no? To take this newfound Cheirus and to utilize it as an opportunity to express, to experience Kabbalah Satorah. That certainly is something that only we can experience. And perhaps that is exactly right the challenge of the Imei HaSira to transition from Sa'orin to Chitin, which begins with the Minchas HaOmer and culminates in the Shtei HaLechem. And perhaps it also emphasizes that uniqueness of Va'achshav Kervano HaMakom Lavodoso. So this is the main role of Sfiras HaOmer, that not only to be able to experience the base level of chayrus, to be able to appreciate, to understand that sense of Kabbalah Satora itself. And no doubt that this is part of the uniqueness of the Yimei Asir. Shavuos is unique in a certain sense that, you know, there's no calendar date associated with the Yontif of Shavuos. But if someone were to ask you when, right, the Shavuos begin, the answer is it commences at the conclusion, the culmination of the Yimei Asir, the Tisbruch HaNishim Yom, that those days of Hakana are considered to be so critical that the onset of Shavuos is not based on a date, but it's determined based on the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. I've often mentioned that, you know, Sfiras Omer is found twice in Chumash. It's found as Parshas Shabbos in Parshas Emor, and it's also repeated in Parshas Re'eh. And there is a marked difference between them. When it comes to Parshas Emor, the Torah formulates the mitzvah of Sfira in the plural, Usvartem Lachem. And plural always means each and every individual. Each and every individual. The Gemara writes, for example, and of Nambez in the Sefer Sukkah, that the Torah tells us, Ulekachtem Lachem, Lashon Rabim, Lekicha Lekol Echad Yechad. Everyone is obligated to take the Dalet Minimus, Svartem Lachem, Sfir Lekol Echad Yechad. If it's rendered in the singular, for example, this coming Shabbos, when the Torah describes counting the years of the Yovel, there the Torah tells us, the Safarta Lecha, in the singular, what does that mean? The single unit of Knesset Yisrael is obligated to count the years of the Yovel. What does that mean? So Tosus writes, not every individual, but Tosus writes, the Sanhedrin that represents Knesset Yisrael, they will count each and every year, that this is the third, this is the fourth, this is the fifth year of the Yovel cycle. Tosfos even writes that the Sanhedrin makes a bracha on the yearly counting. That is Tosfos' Chiddush. Tosfos writes this in Ksuvas Nef Ayin Beis, and Menachos Nef Samachay. But each year, the Sanhedrin counts the Yovel and does so with a bracha. That's because of the singular, the Safarta Lecha. And Sfiras Omer, interestingly, is one of those examples mentioned twice in Chumash. It's mentioned in the plural, Usvartem Lachem in Parshas Emor, repeated in Parshas Re'eh in the singular, Shiva Shavuos Tisbar Lach. And the question is, why exactly is that so? So here you have a couple of possibilities. In some sense, that means that Sfiras Omer is incumbent upon Beis Din, comparable to counting the years of the Yovel. To what extent is that true? So two possibilities. If you look in the Gemara Menachos, now Samachay, the Gemara writes, well yes, Sfiras Omer is dependent on Beis Din. Why? Because when do you begin counting? Mimachras HaShabbos. And Machras HaShabbos means the day after Yantiv. How do we know when to begin counting the Omer? The answer is, we have to be signaled by Beis Din. Beis will be Mekadesh the Chodesh. In turn, that tells us when Yantif begins. In turn, that tells us when to begin counting. So therefore, you know what? My counting of the Yimei HaOmer is dependent on the Sanhedrin. So that's one possibility. The Gemara writes, that's why Shiva Shavuos Tisbalach. If you look, however, the Sifri in Parshas Re'eh, our gears from the Sifri goes a step further. And it says that, you know what? Shiva Shavuos Tisbalach, the Beis Din. Not just simply that Beis Din instructs us when to begin, but Beis Din counts. In other words, there are two systems of counting. We have to count the Omer individually, and the Sanhedrin also has to count the Omer. Why exactly should that be true? So perhaps that's exactly the answer. That, you know, on the one hand, Sfiras Omer is an individual mitzvah, but I have to count, after all, that requisite preparation. Linking Pesach and Shavuos, that's not merely a Chovas Beis Din. That's an obligation incumbent upon each and every individual. And therefore, Usvartem Lachem. But you know, the Sanhedrin is obligated to determine the onset of each and every Yantif. And the Yantif of Shavuos is not rooted in a calendar date, but rather, Sfira is critical to determine the Yantif of Shavuos. And if that is a mitzvah incumbent upon the Sanhedrin, you know what? The Sanhedrin also has to count the days of the Omer. Not perhaps as the independent mitzvah, but perhaps because of its critical role in order to determine the onset of Shavuos. And it's fascinating that this is a model of a mitzvah which is written twice in Chumash, once in the singular, once in the plural. And another Yerushim, I compare that to like the Isser of Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra, not to add or diminish the mitzvah Satara, is also mentioned twice in Chumash. It's mentioned in Parshas Ve'eschanan, and in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah repeats the Isser of Baal Tosif. There the Torah tells us, lo sosef alav, lo sigra mimena, in the singular, in the singular. And following this exact model, you know, that perhaps would mean that there are two elements to Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. One applies to each and every individual, another applies to Bez, and applies to the Sanhedrin. Is that really true? I would argue that is exactly the case. After all, if a person were to ask you, what are examples of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra? So I'll tell you the following. Well, one is when a person inappropriately performs a mitzvah. A person, for example, wears tefillin with five parshios, an additional parsha, instead of four. A Kohen recites Berachas Kohanim, the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Chafes, not three brachos, but four brachos. Lulav and Esrog with a fifth min. All of those are examples of an individual who performs a mitzvah with an inappropriate addition. And the Rambam writes in Perek Beis, the Focus Mamrim, the very great Kiddush. There's an entirely separate world to Baal Tosif. And that's what the Rambam calls Baal Tosif Dehora. Baal Tosif when it comes to an instruction of Bezdin. For example, you know, the Chachamim are empowered. They're obligated to establish Dinim Derabanan. If someone were to ask you, you know, why isn't that Baal Tosif? You'll tell me, Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif means you're adding to what the Torah says you must do. The Torah tells us the Chachamim are obligated, Lo Sasor, Ushmartin es Mishmartin. The Chachamim are obligated to make Takanos, to make Zeros, to make a Siyag with Torah. So the Rambam writes one caveat. The Chachamim are obligated to do so, to create Mitzvot Rabbanan, Lo Sasor, Ushmartin es Mishmartin. However, they have to make it absolutely clear that that which they are instituting is only a din d'rabbanan. The Chachamim have a right to institute Hanukkah to indicate that this is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Chachamim have a right to tell us you can't have chicken and milk, indicating that this is a din d'rabbanan, an extension of meat and milk, basa b'chalav. However, the Rambam writes, if somehow they convey the impression that this is true min HaTorah, the Rambam gives you that example, the Chachamim will declare that chicken and milk is forbidden min HaTorah, the Rambam writes, they violate the prohibition of Baal Tosif. That's what the Rambam writes. And the Rambam questions, where do you see that that's true? Baal Tosif is when a person individually performs a mitzvah inappropriately. Where do you see this Baal Tosif when it comes to instruction of the Sanhedrin? And I would argue perhaps that's exactly the source that Baal Tosif is mentioned twice in Chumash, Lashon Rabbim, Lashon Yachid, similar to Sfirat HaOmer. And that's exactly what the Gemara in the Sifri write, that the singular is a reference to Sanhedrin. Here as well, that Baal Tosif and Parshas Ve'eschanan also sifu mean when each individual inappropriately performs a mitzvah. But then you come to Parshas Re'eh, lo sosef alav lo sigra mena, that is in the singular. Where is the singular model of Baal Tosif? That is Sanhedrin. When does Sanhedrin violate Baal Tosif? That is exactly Baal Tosif Dohara. Now I'll give you a compelling proof. Because when the Rambam stresses that the Sanhedrin has to be careful, they have to indicate that, yes, this is a mitzvah, that it's only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, not a mitzvah midaraisa. Otherwise, they violate Baal Tosif. The Rambam cites the Pasuk. Which Pasuk do you think the Rambam cites? The Rambam cites the Pasuk of Parshas Re'eh, not the earlier Pasuk of Parshas Ve'eschanan. That Pasuk in Lashon Yachid, that is the Baal Tosif, the Harav. And therefore, you find a further model of a mitzvah which is in the singular, a mitzvah which is in the plural, and therefore it has two halves. One is a chovas yachid, and the other as a chovas hatzibur. So perhaps this is true when it comes to the elements of Sfiras HaOmer, and it emphasizes that dual role. Like an independent mitzvah counting days, but also the essential role of Sfiras HaOmer to determine the Yantif of Shavuos, and that's considered to be a chova, a mitzvah, which is incumbent upon Beis Din. So perhaps that is part of the critical role of Sfiras HaOmer itself. You know that no doubt that the Yemei HaSfira considered to be the great days of preparation, days of anticipation toward Kabbalah Satorah itself. And you know, the Gemara tells us in Nidan Daf Ayin of the days, but how is it that a person adequately prepares for receiving the Torah Hashem? A person wants to go ahead and carve their niche. A person wants to accomplish in Avodas Hashem, especially in terms of the realm of Limud HaTorah. So therefore, what are the necessary stages of preparation? So the Gemara writes in Yuma and Daf Ayin Rabbeis as follows. That if a person wants to go ahead and create their niche in the Torah Hashem, what is it that a person does? So first the Gemara says that Yarba B'Yeshiva. A person has to engage in Amelus. No, it doesn't simply come through osmosis. No, a person has to invest appropriate time in terms of Limud HaTorah, Yarba B'Yeshiva. And then the Gemara tells us the second requirement, that is Yema'e Tishkora. Right? The person has to an extent where it's possible, kind of curtail one's business dealings. If there are too many diversions, in such a case, it's always hard to go into focus. And that, no doubt, is a great challenge. On the one hand, the Asafta Be'Gamecha, as the Gemara writes, Hanei Ba'atzmacha Min HaDeracheres, the person has to realize the responsibility of making a livelihood, but at the same time, not to be so preoccupied with that kind of, that defines who the person is. So the Gemara writes to that extent that you might discover. And the Gemara raises an incredible observation that many do so. Many are Mimayit Bisphora, and many are Marga the Yeshiva, but somehow that end goal is not accomplished. So the Gemara writes there must be a third requirement. And that third requirement is that Yevakesh Mimisha Chachma Mishalach. A person has to be Mevakesh Rachamim. A person has to be Mispalot Tzokadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, a person can accomplish all the necessary steps. A person can see to it that Yavi Yeshiva might be Tzchora, but there's no guarantee. And a person has to realize that ultimate success in Limud HaTorah, in Avodas Hashem, that is something that's dependent on Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is great Siyata Dishmaya. It's comparable in a certain way to what the Rambam writes of an Avi. No? The Rambam at length, and Marna Vukin discusses the possibilities. Now the Rambam writes that, you know what, the Hamonam feels that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could tap anyone with Nevuah. The Rambam writes, that's not really true. A person has to be worthy of becoming a Navi. The Rambam writes that the view of the philosophers is the opposite extreme, that Nevuah is a natural faculty. In other words, as long as the person prepares themselves, they will be guaranteed Nevuah. The Rambam that also is not true. Preparation and self-perfection, the Rambam writes, is necessary, but it's not sufficient. It's necessary, but then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tap you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to endow you with Nevuah. And the Rambam writes that there are certain individuals who are B'nai HaNavim. It means they're worthy, but there isn't any guarantee that they will receive Nevuah. That's what the Rambam writes is the Hashkafa Satara. I would argue to a smaller extent the same thing is true when it comes to Lima HaTorah, in the sense that there is Amelus, there is Ishtadlus, but then Yevakesh Rachamimimi Shachach Mashalah. A person always has to kind of reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see to it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taps that individual to see to it that you are given that particular bracha of Siyata Dishma. Chaim Lozhner writes that, you know, the phrase of Chazal, Yagati Umatsosi Tamin. Now, if a person engages in Amelus and he accomplishes, right, a person should be believed in the sense that is appropriate. So Rechem Lezhin writes that Matsosi is Miloshon Netzia, when you chance, when you find upon a lost object. In other words, a person, right, can invest, but if a person is successful, right, it's comparable to chancing upon something. In other words, that it is a two-way street. It requires that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to endow that person with a sense of a ruach hachachma, justice when it comes to elements of nevuah itself. So it's an important, important element of liman hatzaris. And I've often described, when you look in Pirkei Avos, so there, the Mishnah tells us that there are dalet midos b'tamidim. No, there are various strengths that Talmidim have. No, there's certain Talmidim who have a very quick grasp, but yet they can forget very easily. Certain ones are Mahalishmoa, Kashala Abe, certain ones they are able to clearly retain. Now the Rambam is bothered by the following. What is this doing exactly in Maseches Avos? In the sense that, you know, Maseches Avos normally, right, are things that a person has to strive toward. No? After all, these are the models. These are elements of Avodas Hashem that are considered to be so critical. When I say that they're Dalet Midos B'Talmidim, you know, it sounds more as an observation than it does as an inspiration or a challenge. Now, the mission is telling us that, you know, you ask a particular teacher, you ask your Rebbe, what types of students do you have? So, you know, some have very quick grasp, some are able to retain. Good, what does that have to do with kind of the model? So if you look in Rabbi the Rishonim, right, and this is stated by the Chidah at length, no, that's not really not true, right? All of this requires Siyat HaDishmaya. Siyat, you may think that these are natural faculties. Now, a person is able to do A or able to do B, not necessarily true, right? It's true. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a certain inclination. A Kadosh Baruch Hu may give a person a certain raw talent, but nonetheless, right, that mission is informing us what a person must do. And that is a person has to work, and a person has to be mispamel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to utilize those faculties and to be endowed with those faculties as well. And that's what is doing Maseches Avos. It's not just simply an observation that, you know, children or adults have different strengths. No, 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 it's much, much more than that. It means that this is how a person channels his tefillah and channels his avodas Hashem. It's an important and it's an important element. You know, I often mention that this Pashal is the parak of Maseches Avos and parak Beis. So the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, right, mentioned the strengths of the Talmidim, and the strength of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was he was a bor seed, eino ma'abed tipa. Good. He was someone who absorbed everything. Right, didn't forget a word, no? So somehow you could leave that mission and think, okay, so he was commended for his sheer brilliance, right, that simply retained everything, quickly absorbed, without any concern that he would ever forget. But I've often mentioned that, you know, you can't divorce that Mishnah from what the Gemara writes in Sukkah Daf Chav Ches. That's where the Gemara writes that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus says the following, that lo kidmani adam le beis medrash. You know, that I was always the one who turned on the lights in the beis medrash. And Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus says that I was always the one who locked the door to the beis medrash as well. Now, you know, you kind of think, you see the Mishnah of Osta, all of this was a natural gift. Of course, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was, right, endowed with that great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, but it was utilized with incredible amelos and ishtadlus and siyata d'shmaya. And I would argue that that was the message of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, Nasugim Sukkanav Tochez. Why is he telling us that he was the first to enter and the last to leave? Okay, let other, no. The point was is that one shouldn't just simply say, okay, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him gifts that he didn't give me, and therefore he is capable of, but I cannot. No, that amelos, that ishtadlus, that siyata d'shmaya is considered to be that which is so, so critical. And that's exactly what the Gemara writes, that harov sashiyachtam, a person wants to attain heights in terms of avodas Hashem. So, right, amelos and ishtadlus is necessary, but it cannot be done without intense Siyata Dishmaya. You know, if you look in many different Makaros, you find a pretty fascinating correspondence. That somehow there is a relationship between the 49 days of the Omer and the 48 methods of Kinyan HaTorah. Now, in Perek Vav of Avos, so the Memchez Bram Shatorah Niknis Mahem, that there somehow is that correlation. That's already something which is found in the Maharal, Levi Eliyahu expands upon it at grade. That was known in the Beis Midrash of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that every day corresponds to a different element of Kinyan Torah, and therefore that kind of direct correspondence. But you know, that the Achronim are bothered. If that really is true, if there is such a direct correspondence between the Kinyanim of Torah and the Mimtes days of Sefiras Omer, you know, it would have worked out much better had there been another method of Kinyan Torah as well. You hear whatever, a drasha, and there's a gematria, and you look at it, it's kind of one-off. It tempers the Kiddush. No, if it's really true, there should be an exact equation. 48 and 49 is pretty close, but something exactly is missing. Rav Asher Weiss would always comment that this is obviously the Dafka Nakash. Chazal could have come up with a 49th way, and it would have made the drasha sound even sweeter, even more compelling. But the point is as follows, is that all of those Menches Dvarim are part of the Hishtabas. That's what a person must do to ready himself for receiving the Bracha of the Torah Hashem. But you know what? Even if a person does everything, even if a person prepares himself as he necessarily must, it's necessary, but it's insufficient. There's always a gap. Because Yavad Yeshiva, Yemayit Bissorah, but Yivakesh Chachma Mimisha Chachma Shalom, a person always has to recognize that this is something that is beyond me. A person can do all that which is necessary and kind of fall short of the mark. You can climb all of the 48 rungs, and all of a sudden now you realize that kind of the ladder doesn't quite reach, and there is a gap, and then a person is called upon, right, to be nispala, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has thought that that's exactly why there isn't that absolute correspondence, because that measure, Siyata Dishmaya, is considered to be that which is absolutely critical. So that's part of the realization of preparation for Kabbalah Satar, that we are called upon, no doubt, to do that which we do, all of the Menches Dvarim, Shatar Niknes Bahem, but always realize that, in a literal sense, this is a gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, and to appreciate, to ready oneself for that particular experience. These are just some of the elements that we find when it comes to, like, the mitzvah of Sefiras HaOmer. In a more technical sense, no doubt that perhaps there is, right, a kiyum each and every day and an independent bracha for each day indeed, which is counted. One cannot ignore, in broader strokes, the role of Sefiras HaOmer, as the Ramban writes, to be able to link, right, that of Pesach and Shavuos. After all, if what we commemorate during the Seder night, the celebration of Cheiros, right, our belief that Cheiros is never an end in and of itself, that Ein Lecha Dechorin, Elamisha Osek B'Torah, that Cheiros is an opportunity, it's a means, and therefore it has to result in a certain sense of Kabbalah Satorah itself. And that's exactly what the Ramban writes. The whole essence of Sefer Shmos is that lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim culminating in Kabbalah Satorah. And the Ramban writes that's the whole purpose of the Mishkan and the Mikdash Hashem, is to be able to preserve and to capture the Doros, that elevated status of Knesset Yisrael at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. So this is an added role that you find to Sefiras HaOmer, perhaps the meaning of why it is that Sefiras HaOmer bizman hazeh, even without Beis HaMikdash, even without Minchas HaOmer, can be that which is Min HaTorah. In fact, there are three shittas. Now, Rov Rishonim assumes Sefiras HaOmer is the Rabbanan, the Rambam shita that Sefiras HaOmer is the Raisa, and a fascinating split of Rabbi Yerucham, because Rabbi Yerucham points out, if you look in Parshas Emor, and in Parshas Ra'eh, you find that the Torah mentions counting of the days of the Omer independent of Minchas HaOmer, counting the weeks of the Omer that's linked to the Minchas HaOmer, and therefore the Yerucham writes the Chiddush that Bizman HaZeh, Sefiras HaOmer, is a twofold obligation. A mitzvah min HaTorah to count days, a mitzvah derabbanan is a zeichah l'mikdash of counting weeks. Interesting shita. Right? And therefore a third possibility in terms of those elements of Sefiras HaOmer itself, but undeniably, right, the role of Sefiras HaOmer relevant to Zman Hazeh, and that is bridging that gap, to be able to emphasize the role of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Achshav Kirban HaMakom Avdasa, simply as a means to an end toward Kabbalah Satarit.